Sometimes all you have to hear is a few notes and you know that voice has been lived in. You can hear a long life of ups and downs, a rich and weathered sound.
Always remember that sad, sad day. I thought the world had ended when that train pulled away. I was just a little boy, scared and alone.
Ah, that singer Jimmy Carter, one of the founding members of the Blind Boys of Alabama, the Grammy-winning group, had their recording debut nearly 70 years ago, and now they have a new album, Almost Home. Mr. Carter joins us from the studios of WABE in Atlanta. Welcome, sir, to the program. It's an honor to have you on.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
And with you, if there is your longtime manager, Charles Drebe. Thank you for joining us as well.
It's a pleasure.
I'm going to start with you, Mr. Carter. When you released that debut single in 1948, did you ever think you'd still be recording all these years later?
I had no idea of it. And I always tell the people that ask me, when the Blind Boys started out, we wasn't looking for any accolades, no kind of awards or nothing. We just wanted to get out there and sing gospel music. But, you know, since the accolades came, we're glad to get them.
No doubt. Charles Drebe, as the group's manager, as well as the executive producer of this album, Almost Home, you had an interesting approach. You came up with an intriguing way to invite songwriters to contribute songs for this album. Can you tell us about that?
Well, the life experiences of Jimmy and of Clarence Fountain, the group's longtime leader who's now retired, are very interesting and varied and long. We interviewed them and sent those interviews to a group of very good songwriters and invited them to submit songs based on the lives of Clarence and Jimmy. And we got about 50 submissions back.
Wow.
Really a lot of great songs.
How closely do the lyrics follow those stories?
Well, some of them are direct quotes from the interviews with Clarence and Jimmy. One in particular is the song that Jimmy sings called Let My Mother Live. And the phrase, Let My Mother Live Till I Get Grown, came directly from his interview.
Let my mother live till I get grown. Let my mother live till I get grown.
Jimmy, what was that about, that song?
It goes back. When I went to the school, it was a very difficult school to be in.
This was a school for the blind.
That's correct. And when my mom took me to the school, and when she left me there, I just was overwhelmed. I didn't know nobody. I didn't know what to do. And it was just devastating to me. You picture a 7-year-old boy in a school. He doesn't know anyone. He's just up there. That's a dreadful, dreadful feeling. And my dad had passed. And I just prayed to God that he would let my mother live till I get grown to see me through my adolescence and, you know, younger years. And he did.
And he not only did that, Jimmy, he let your mother live till she was 103 years old.
That's correct.
My goodness.
I remember when my mother used to sing. Oh, the joy that her voice could bring. When I'm low and I'm afraid, and I long to see her face, singing, bring her closer to me.
Mr. Mr. Drewby, why was it important to do something like this, do you think? Keep a record like this?
Well, Clarence and Jimmy are the only surviving original members, and the arc of their lives is mirroring the arc of some very important and sweeping changes in America and in the American South. And they have a unique experience with those changes, and the things that they've lived through are very good fodder for songs. Let's put it that way.
I've seen things in this world that keep me singing my song. I keep hoping for change, but sometimes it feels the same. I have to believe,
have to believe
the labor I've done.
Mr. Carter, you and Clarence Fountain, as you've mentioned, are the surviving members of the original group. Unfortunately, Mr. Fountain couldn't join us, but we do have an audio clip from one of the interviews conducted with him. He was talking about how record execs tried to pressure the group to put out a blues or a rock record. Let's listen.
I was in the record studio. One man told me, name your price. I said, I don't have a price. I'm going to sing gospel.
I do want to hear from you about this, but first let's hear a song that speaks to that sentiment. It's called Stay on the Gospel Side.
I guess there were good times, and I know there were bad, but I never blamed the Lord for the trouble I had. Oh, I just stayed on the gospel side.
Mr. Carter, why did you want to stay on the gospel side? You could have made it big in pop, I'm sure, or rock or blues.
Well, we could have, but, you know, when we started out, we made a pledge. We said no matter what, we were not going to deviate from gospel music. This is what we came out here to do, and this is what we're going to do. So we had a lot of people to cross over. In fact, when Sam Cooke crossed over, we were right there at the same time in the same studio. And they offered us the same deal they offered him. But we turned it down, and I'm glad we did.
What's your favorite song on the album, sir? What's the one that means the most to you?
I think it's a good album, but if I had to just choose one, it would have to be Almost Home, I think.
Why? You're looking back at such a long career. What's the meaning of Almost Home for you?
Well, you know, we've done a lot, and I'm just about ready to. I'm not gonna say when, but I'm just about ready to stop. And so, I got a few more things I would like to do before I do stop. But I'm almost home.
Jimmy Carter from the Blind Boys of Alabama and manager Charles Drewby, thank you both so very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lily.
All these years, he's not about to leave me now.
Almost Home by the Blind Boys of Alabama is released on August 18th, but a first listen of the album is now streaming on our website, nprmusic.org. Our theme music was written by BJ Lederman. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Lulu Garcia Navarro.
I've been up, down, the whole